If you have your Bibles, can you turn with me to the Gospel of Luke? And we'll be looking at chapter 5 this afternoon, verses 12 through 16. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. And can we all stand in reverence for the word? And this is what the Holy Spirit says to the church. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you just don't leave us to ourselves and our own lives, but you speak into our lives. And we pray that you would speak to us through your spirit and through your word. Lord, thank you that every time we come to your word, it's good news. And we pray that as we come to your word, it would just refresh us, refresh our lives, and refresh our faith. Oh Lord, we pray that we would receive this word by faith and seek to bear fruit from it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This afternoon, we're actually starting a new series that I'm very excited about. We're entitling this series, Jesus Encounters. And we're not necessarily moving on to an entirely different theme from what we began. We talked about in the beginning of this year the mission church, that our church is on mission, that we are to be witnesses of Jesus, that this Holy Spirit that resides within us is a missionary spirit. And what we want to do with this series, Jesus Encounters, is we want to see Jesus on mission. And we want to see who he loved and how he loved. And I hope that two things come from it. First of all, that we see that through Jesus, we'll see in various ways how he loves us, you and I, how he loves us. And also, as we see him, to be equipped and encouraged to be missionaries just like him as we carry out Jesus' mission. Now, one of the first encounters Jesus encounters in the Gospels is this encounter with the leper. Now, as we begin, I just want us to try to get a visual of this scene. In some sense, feel some of the suffering of this man, this leper. Now, it says in our text that this man was full of leprosy. He wasn't just any leper, he was full of leprosy. Now, leprosy was a disease that caused deterioration of the skin. It caused deformity of the body, discoloration, and even sometimes these lepers would develop grotesque bumps. And this past week, I went on Google Images and I typed in leprosy. And then all these pictures came out, and the pictures were so appalling that I had to kind of quickly exit out. It was a severe disease. It was a crippling disease. And it says this man was full of leprosy. He must have had the worst kind of leprosy, from head to toe. And if you think about this guy's appearance, he must have looked hideous. He must have had that kind of appearance where by instinct we just kind of step away, or we turn away. And it reminds me of one time visiting a special needs orphanage in China, and some of these kids had such severe disabilities and severe deformities. And I remember that their physical appearance, I mean, it was so jarring, and that I have to confess this, that I had to kind of warm up to just even see them, much less touch them. It was hard. And this leper here, he must have had that kind of jarring appearance where when you see him, you just want to turn away. Well, if you look at the Old Testament laws about leprosy, you do get a much fuller picture of this man's suffering. If you turn to Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46, and we'll be kind of going back to this chapter every now and then. Leviticus 13, verses 45, 46. And I'm reading this so that you get a fuller picture of this guy's suffering. It says, "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.'" This guy must have looked homeless, right? "He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." So this guy must have looked like what we would think of as, you know, a typical homeless person. Torn clothes, disheveled hair, but he would have this covering over his mouth. And he would be deemed unclean, and he would have to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," to warn people to keep their distance from him. He was the kind of person that you would see and then you would avoid. And he had to live outside of the community. And so his leprosy was both shaming and isolating. Now, unclean was not just a sanitary judgment, but in the culture, it was a moral one too. People were punished with leprosy in the Old Testament. I think of Miriam or King Uzziah. And there was this belief that you were diseased because you were a sinner. If you read John 9 about the man who was born blind, the people around him were saying, "Is this guy blind because he sinned or his parents sinned?" And so there was a feeling, even for this leper, that I'm unacceptable before God. And if you think about all of his suffering, the extent of his suffering, you realize the cumulative effect was this hopelessness. Here was a guy who was full of leprosy. There was no cure for him. He was like the living dead. He was a man just waiting to die, likely even wanting to die. Now, we don't know how, but this leper knew of Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, he comes to him, he falls on his face, and he begs for healing. And here the leper, he breaks protocol, doesn't he? What was he supposed to do? He was supposed to take a step back and shout, "Unclean." But instead he dares to draw near to Jesus, right? And this is what real desperation does to you. You throw off rules of conduct. You throw off reservation, what is proper. You don't care. You're bold. You're bold as a lion. And, you know, it made me think about one time when our family was in Yosemite and we were at a dining hall, and Anderson was about 3 or 4 years old. We walk into the bathroom to wash our hands, and I remember walking into the bathroom, and I saw this strange man just sitting right at the front of the entrance. He looked weird, but, you know, we washed our hands, and then we walked out. And as we walked out, I took literally 2 steps. I looked behind me, and Anderson was gone. It's like he had vanished. And I was thinking about that man, and he wasn't there. Where is Anderson? And then I just start going crazy. I'm in the lobby of this dining hall, and I'm yelling Anderson's name. And I'm grabbing strangers. I'm saying, "Have you seen a kid? He's this tall. He was just right behind me." And then after that, I run outside the door. I go outside, and I'm just screaming his name. I'm running back and forth frantically. Where is he? Well, obviously Anderson is here, so the story ends well. But what happened was he was right behind me, and then he just slipped away. And then he went into the cafeteria. And but for those 5 minutes, it was like the worst 5 minutes of my life. But I was just a desperate man. I didn't care, what anyone thought. And some of you guys know me. I'm like kind of a reserved person. I don't like to bother or inconvenience other people. But at that point, I didn't care. I was so desperate. And this leper, this guy was desperate. He didn't care what the Levitical codes were. The leper's desperation and misery, it drives him to Jesus. And brothers and sisters, can you see that desperation can be good? It drives him to Jesus. Now, I don't think any of us have ever been a leper, but haven't we all felt like one? Feeling an ugliness about us? Feeling unclean? Having these moments where you just feel unacceptable before God? If not unacceptable, worthless? And who hasn't struggled with shame? And then the need to cover up and keep people far away from you and isolate yourself. And there might be even some of us here, we're just waiting to die. Maybe even wanting to die. That life isn't going to get better. We can't see that. We can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And maybe you're like, Pastor Andy, that was me this week. Some of those things. Perhaps we're more like the leper than we realize. Now, where does all that come from? That feeling ugly or unclean, unacceptable, the shame. Well, the Word of God tells us that we all suffer from an inward leprosy, and it's called sin. That we have a sin-sick soul. That's how Old Testament saints used to like to talk. We have a sin-sick soul. And sin is that leprous disease in every one of us. And doesn't it have all the same effects as leprosy? The ugliness, the feeling of being unclean, shame, isolation. And this passage, it got me thinking, if there was a deformity on our face for every prideful thought, or every impure thought, or a white discoloration on our skin for every unkind word, what would we look like? Would we not look just as hideous and grotesque as this leper? And wouldn't our suffering be just as great? And isn't the reality that we are inwardly what this guy was outwardly? Now, if you're one of those feeling deeply your spiritual leprosy, suffering from a sin-sick soul, won't you learn from the leper? Won't it drive you to Jesus? To come to him. Now, some of us, we have a different problem. We're not desperate at all. You read this story and you feel sorry for the leper, but you cannot see that you yourself are one. And this is not just a problem of the unbeliever. This is a problem even for longtime believers. Something happens to us longtime Christians. I don't know why, but over time, a lot of us, if we're not careful, we just become more and more religious and less Christian. And this is what I mean. We kind of revert back to counting only the bad sins, the really bad sins. We dismiss the heart sins, those invisible sins. And we forget about the sins of omission, the things that we've left undone, loving God with all your heart, loving your neighbor as yourself. And we begin to forget about the sin of self-righteousness. And what happens when we start going down that road? Here's what happens. You start losing your desperation. You lose sensitivity to your sin and your neediness for Christ. Now, how do you know if you're becoming more religious and less Christian? Just think about this. When was the last time you prayed falling on your face? Falling on your face like a beggar about your sin. I'm not asking about falling on your face because of your circumstances, because something didn't go your way, but because of your leprosy, because of your sin. When was the last time that we were bothered by our sin, kept up at night by our sin? Some of that is good because of the desperation that's involved there. How do you know you're becoming more religious and less Christian? If Jesus is not all that relevant to you Monday through Saturday, you're not drawn to him. You're not drawn to him through his word or through prayer. You know, I know many of us, we're drifting into religiosity. And I don't say this as someone who's doing super well. I feel it too. Drifting into religiosity and away from Christianity. Do we feel that? And here's the more important question. Are we alarmed by that? Because you see, the posture of the leper is the ongoing, continual posture of the Christian. Now let's turn to the leper's cry. He says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." There's a lot in there. You know, he knows where he stands with Jesus. He knows he has no business being with Jesus. He knows what the Levitical law codes teach. Clean and unclean cannot go together. They cannot have fellowship together. Jesus, the Son of God, me, a dirty leper. We can't even be close, right? And so for him, we see that there's no demands on his lips. He only asks for mercy. The leper is saying, "Lord, I know I don't deserve what I'm asking, but will you? Will you?" And we get a picture of what awareness of sin does to us. It drives us to Jesus, but with humility. And the only thing that we can say to Jesus is, "Have mercy on me, Lord, a sinner." You see, sick beggars are not proud. They are never proud. They are humble. Now, along with this humility is a big faith, right? You can make me clean. I'm full of leprosy, but Jesus, you can make me clean. He's drawn to Jesus not only because he's desperate, but because he believes in him. He believes he is the Son of God. He believes he is the Savior. And he believes he has power to heal him and to end his misery once and for all. And for those with a leprous heart, maybe you're suffering so badly in your sin, can you see that there is hope in Jesus? Can you see that there is an answer for your suffering? That he is the answer, that Jesus is the answer. You know, some of us in our sin, we've kind of resigned ourselves to a life of just covering up and isolation. There's a sense of, I have this sin, or I have these sin habits, I have this shame, and I just need to, you know, cover up and keep people a little bit away from me. And that's how you're going to live your whole life. And you know what? There's a lot of Christians today who are living this way. There are Christians who have lived almost their whole life this way. It's not going to get any better. There is no remedy. There's nothing that I can do about this shame. I just got to keep covering up. Keep isolating myself. Keep people far away from me. And so there's a lot of believers just living in the shadows of their sin. But can we look at the leper, brothers and sisters? Can we learn from him? Can we turn to Jesus? This is what I love about the leper. The leper sees his leprosy, but he says, Jesus is bigger than my leprosy. That Jesus can overcome my leprosy. And so instead of backing away and keeping his distance like he should have, he draws near. Jesus is bigger than your leprous sin. Don't stay in the shadows of your sin. Don't remain in your leprous condition. And don't let the devil think that there are certain things or certain sins that can't be forgiven or certain idols that cannot be broken. Jesus is the hope. He is the answer. So bring your leprosy to him, the full leprosy, because he can handle it. Come to him with humility and a big faith, just like this leper. So the leper says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And the best part is when we come to Jesus. Here's the moment of truth. You know, what is our Lord going to say? Look at verse 13. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. Can we slow down here and see the beauty of Jesus? Jesus, he doesn't just use words. And he doesn't just shock and awe the crowd with his power. We find out later in the passage that Jesus cared very little for fame and for crowds. What does he do? He stretches out his hand and he touches the leper. Luke didn't have to add that in if he was just interested in telling all of us that Jesus is the Son of God and has divine power. Luke adds this because he wants us to see the very character of Christ. Now, keep in mind, according to the Old Testament law, lepers were to stay away from people. People were to stay away from lepers. There was to be no contact. Jesus, he could have kept his distance and maintained his clean status and healed him. He could have stayed afar and said, be clean, and he would have been clean. But Jesus goes to him. You know, he allows the leper to draw near to him. Can you see our Lord? He doesn't step back from his grotesque appearance, but he moves towards him. And for the leper, it was likely the first time in ages where someone had actually touched him. And I, you know, I could just imagine him just trembling, kind of this nervous wonder that someone is actually touching him and making contact with him. And I would imagine that his healing began even right there as Jesus touched him. And the picture we get of Jesus is just so beautiful because we see that Jesus is not just powerful, but we see that he's compassionate. And that he is as compassionate as he is powerful. That is wonderful to think about. That as, you know, you think about Jesus, God speaking the world into existence and the kind of power that is involved there, the magnitude. But do you realize that that gives you also a sense of the magnitude of his compassion, that it is that big? And throughout the Gospels, what do we see? Jesus' compassion, it moves him to sin. It moves him to sickness, and it moves him to suffering. He's drawn to those things. He doesn't back away from those things. And we must do the same. To move towards sin and to sickness and to suffering. You know, this is both the challenge and the blessing of doing nursing home ministry. You know, some of these residents, they have shriveled hands. Some of them have shaking, trembling hands. And some of them, to be honest, they just don't smell the best. You know, and our natural response is not to get too close. Take a step back. And even those who are longtime volunteers, they probably still have to deal with that just a little bit every time they come. Something in them wants to kind of keep a distance instead of coming close. But for the volunteers who go, you know, we try our best to come to them and to hold their hands and to give them a hug. And I think I speak for the volunteers when I say this, that when we imitate Jesus, we come to know him better. Because we experience this powerful moment that we realize this is what Jesus does for us. He takes our shriveled, shaking hands into his, and he loves us. And he has compassion for us. You know, Jesus says, "I will be clean," and he was immediately healed. Not only Jesus can heal, but he will. This is where the good news gets really good. You know, it's one thing for someone to have the power to do something. It's another for a person to be willing to do it. And Jesus says, I not only have the power, I'm willing. This is where the good news is really good. Because Jesus is so willing and ready to heal us. He's not a reluctant Jesus. And he's not putting you on probation so that you can prove yourself and then he might heal you. He is willing and ready to heal us. That is the very heart of God. He will not turn away the beggar. He will not reject the man who believes in him, though he be full of sin. That is our Jesus. Now I want to ask, do any of us still have a reason to remain in our sin and isolate ourselves? Do we still have a reason? Because Jesus can heal and he will. Some of you may still be thinking, I'm still not sure if Jesus would have anything to do with me. If anyone followed me in my thoughts and what I do throughout the week, they would know. God wouldn't have anything to do with me. And if you're thinking that, can I wonderfully rebuke you? You've made up your own Jesus. That's your own Jesus, the Jesus in your mind that you think is reluctant and has a limit on his grace. You know where the true and real Jesus is? Right here, full of compassion, willing, ready to receive you and to heal you and to give you life. Brothers and sisters, when we draw near to him, take off our coverings, confess our uncleanness, because he will heal us. He will handle all of your sin. And we need to know that Jesus is willing to heal us, not because it's so easy for him and he can say, boom, and you're healed. He's willing to heal us because he loves us so much. Because it came at a great cost. And we see the cost in this encounter. As we've noted, Jesus, he touches him. Now, according to Old Testament law, because Jesus touched him, Jesus is now, what's his status? He is unclean as a result. And what you see here is Jesus essentially switching places with the leper. Jesus becomes unclean, and the leper becomes clean. Jesus becomes unclean so that the leper can become clean. And that is the great and costly love that Jesus has for us, and it was most demonstrated at the cross. There, he who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. What happens at the cross? Jesus takes all of our sin and everything that comes with it. Yes, filth, shame, isolation, all of the unacceptableness of us. He takes it all and he gives us his righteousness. We are accepted before God. We are forgiven and free. What an exchange. This is the great love that God has for you. Brothers and sisters, let's receive it today. Put yourself in the shoes of the leper, just for a moment, okay? His health is restored, and his status has been changed to clean. Think about the impact that that had in his life. It changed everything, okay? Because if he is clean, what does that mean? He doesn't have to stand outside the camp anymore. He's not isolated. He's not shamed out. But he can now be brought in, and he can now interact with people. And then there's that sense that God loves me. He healed me. I am not rejected by God. I am loved by him. And all of that ugliness that he felt about himself, all of a sudden, all gone. Now, do you think that this leper, just to put it in real terms, do you think that this leper was afterwards lamenting the fact that because of his leprosy, he's way far behind in his career than everybody else? Oh, because of my leprosy, I'm 10 years behind, my friend over there who didn't have leprosy, and now he's far along in his career as a merchant. You think he's thinking about that? Of course not. He's like, my life has been changed. The course of my life has been reversed. I am restored. I am now clean. And you see, this is what Jesus does for us. He restores the very worst things about us, and it changes everything. Now, as I close here, Jesus, he instructs the leper to go to the priest, right? According to the Old Testament law. Now, you have to understand this. For a leper to be clean, what he has to do is, if he feels like maybe he's clean and in the clear, he would have to go to the priest, and the priest would examine him. And then the priest would, at that point, declare that, you know, the leper is clean. If you look at Leviticus 13, it says it at the end of every paragraph, but it talks about this process that's involved and the pronouncement by the priest. For example, in verse 13 of chapter 13 in Leviticus, and the priest shall examine him, and if the disease has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce the diseased person clean. Last three words, he is clean. Now, how is that relevant for us? Well, you know what the scriptures say this, that Jesus is our true high priest. And if the priest says you're clean, then guess what? You are clean. And so for us, as sinners who come before God, in our desperation, repenting of our sins, putting our faith in Christ, the declaration over us is that you are clean. And because the high priest, Jesus, has declared it over you, that is the reality. So you know what our problem is? We make our feelings our high priest. And we say, my feelings say I'm unclean, I must be unclean. Or our thoughts are our high priest. I don't think I'm clean, therefore I'm not clean. And this is where it's very important to live by faith. Your feelings are not your high priest, your thoughts are not your high priest, Jesus is your high priest. And what it says in the scriptures is that you are clean. Brothers and sisters, receive that. You are clean because of Christ. And he has declared that over you. And so I just want to encourage you to walk in the reality of that and walk in the joy and the peace of that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful passage that opens up such a beautiful picture of your heart seen through your Son. Oh, how he is so compassionate, meeting and ministering to the worst of the worst. And thank you, God, that in your grace, you've met and ministered to us. Who are we to deserve such grace and such a rich salvation? And yet, it is ours. Thank you that we can live under the reality that our great high priest has declared us clean through his work of salvation. And God, I pray that these are things that we treasure and that we enjoy, but we also pray that these are things that move us out into the world. Lord, we repent of the fact that a lot of times we keep our distance from people that you have a heart for. And so God, I just pray that you can conform our heart to yours, that we would move towards sin, sickness, suffering. We would move towards those things. And that, Lord, you would use us and that we would follow in your very footsteps as missionaries and as witnesses. God, do this among us, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.